Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. I want to take the opportunity to say that our congregation and myself thanks you for taking the time to listen to this Bible study today. This Bible study was given from the pulpit right here at Open Door Baptist on a Wednesday evening. Our prayer is that this study of God's infallible Word will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you. Let's get in our Bibles tonight in the book of Genesis chapter 27. Genesis 27. We want to say that we're thankful for the Brother Holloway and his wife back with us again tonight. What a blessing to have them again tonight. You keep praying for our church. Keep begging us in prayer. We're kind of going through a lot of things medical-wise and some trials with different folks in our church. Miss Johnny, her eldest sister, is not doing well at all. And so do remember her. So there's a lot going on with our church family. We really need to pray for each other. Others have got requests, and some may share it here a little bit. Some may just say unspoken. But we need to pray for each other. Amen? Please don't forget to pray one for another. All right, Genesis 27, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 1 tonight. And the Bible says, "And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son, and said unto him, My son, and he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he, speaking of Isaac, said, Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard what Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, make me savory meat, that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Verse 8, Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver. And I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. Verse 13, And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice, and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared unto the hand of her son Jacob. Verse 18, And he came unto his father and said, My father, and he, speaking of Isaac, said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. Verse 20, And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that in Jesus Christ's name, that you'd help us tonight in our Bible study. We do want to, Lord, ask you to help those that, Lord, that are not here tonight, Lord, that would be here, Lord, if it had not been for some sickness, some recovery of a surgery. I pray that you'll help, Lord, Miss Linda. I pray you'll help Randy, Sheila, Wanda, Miss Sarah, Lord, Miss Johnny, Lord, there with her sister. We think of those that are sick, Lord, from Lord Carly and Darren and Cameron and Lord Emily, Tiffany and Justin, Lord. Lord, so many different folks, Lord, that are not feeling well. I pray that you'd please help them, touch them, Lord. Lord, others, Lord, that I may not know about, Lord, the Brownlee family, Lord, we pray that you'll help them during this time of bereavement. Pray you'll bless Miss Angie, Brother Keith, as they minister to our children and teens tonight. And Lord, I ask you that you'd help me. Lord, I sure will be grateful for your help to give me clarity of thought and clarity of speech. Lord, I want to be a help and not a hindrance tonight. Thank you for these that are here, Lord. Some are here, Lord, without a part of their family, Lord, but they're still here. Lord, what a joy that is to my heart. I pray, Lord, that you will bless us tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. Thank you. I want to build up to this chapter tonight, chapter 27, by going back to the latter part of chapter 26. I'm not going to stay long there, but I want to go back just for a few moments and share some things that needs to be shared before we jump into chapter 27. Now, in chapter number 26, according to the biblical record we have in Genesis, we have the story of how Abimelech and how the Philistines, Abimelech was the king of the Philistines, and how that they grew envy concerning Isaac, the way that God had laid his hand upon Isaac, how God had blessed Isaac, and he was prospering, and he was becoming well known. And I believe Abimelech feared for his throne, he feared for the authority that he possessed, that maybe that Isaac, with the way that God was blessing him, and how people were flocking, and seemed to really just follow after Isaac, and he could tell that God's hand was upon Isaac, that he came down to Isaac and he said, "Isaac, I want to have a word with you." And I'm paraphrasing. He said, "Isaac, do you remember how your father, Abraham," and I don't know if his father or Abimelech's grandfather, over 100 years ago, they made a covenant. They made a vow one with another. And that vow was that Abraham's descendants will always be at peace with Abimelech and his kingdom or his people. And so he asked, more or less, asked Isaac to leave Gerar, G-E-A-R-A-R, Gerar, the capital city of the kingdom of Abimelech at that time. So the Bible says that he leaves and he camps out, or he places his tent, Isaac does, in the valley outside of this capital city. And the Bible says that while he's there, he needs to dig a well. He needs to find some water. He needs to find water for his family, of course, for his livelihood and for his livestock. So in verses 20, 21, and 22, we have the story there, chapter 26, of Isaac and his servants digging three different wells. The Bible says there in verse number 20, and I'll just read this quickly, verse 20 of chapter 26. The Bible says, "And the herdmen..." Let's go to verse 19. "And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water." That word springing is translated from the Hebrew to English, actually means living water. "And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, 'The water is ours.'" In other words, they saw them dig the well and they did all the work. And once they got the water, they took it. They said, "It's ours. We're going to take it. Thank you for digging the well for us. This is our land. This is our well." And so the Bible says that Isaac called the name of the well Esek. And the word Esek simply means contention. So the second well in verse 21, "And they digged another well and strove for that also." In other words, those herdmen or those people of Gerar, they said, "Oh, he dug another well. We're going to take that from him too." And so they fought over it. And Isaac said, "Okay, you can have it." And they called it Sitna. And of course, we have the first well that means contention. Then we have Sitna, which means hatred. They showed their hatred and their contention towards Isaac and his people. In verse 22, we see the third well that Isaac and his servants were going to dig, and he removed from thence and digged another well. This is the third well. And for that, notice it, this, they strove or they fought not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. So they dig this third well. The first two, they had to had some contention, some malice, some strife, and some anger that came from the herdmen or the people of the Philistines, and they kind of ran Isaac and his family off, and he dug another one, and they run him off. Then he finally digs the third one, and no one fights him over that, and so he called it Rehoboth, which simply means room or enlargement. He says there, for now the Lord hath made room for us. That's what the word means, room or enlargement. And we shall be fruitful in the land. And so he digs those three wells, and so he finally has a well for his people. Then the Bible says that he goes back to Beersheba, the same place where his father had worshipped the Lord at one time and a few chapters ago. Now, in verse 34, to end this chapter, we need to look at this. And I'm going to deal this and jump to 27. But we can't skip verse 34 and 35 because this is very important. And Esau was 40 years old when he took a wife, Judith, the daughter of Bereah the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. So Esau, the eldest son of Isaac and Rebekah, he's marrying two women here. I don't know how many years apart. You can read this and you think, man, he went to the wedding altar with two women at the same time here. I don't know. But I believe there was, of course, some months or years between each marriage. But he's married to two women, and these women are Hittites. And look what the Bible says about verse 35. These two Hittites, or these daughter-in-laws, were a grief of mine unto Isaac and to Rebekah. They were a grief to the mind of Isaac and Rebekah. Now, verse 34, the Bible gives us some info here. Not only the kind of women that Esau liked to court and marry, but it gives us some information about the character of Esau, what kind of man he was. Now, let me refresh your memory that God had instructed Abraham years ago, over 100 years ago, that his descendants were to marry their own people. They're among their own people. You remember that Abraham told his eldest servant, said, you promise me, make a vow. And they each placed their hand under the thigh of one another, made that vow, that covenant, that you're going to find my son Isaac a wife among our own people, in which he did, Rebekah. And that was God's way that he wanted Abraham and Isaac, and now Jacob and Esau were supposed to abide by God's standard, God's commandment. But the Bible says that Esau just deliberately disobeyed God. God had made a promise. You are the descendants of Abraham. You are the promised seed. You're the seed that's going to be blessed. You make sure you marry among your own people. In the New Testament church age, we have the same commission that we that are not married. We, or if you remarry after your wife, whatever may happen, is that we marry our own people. What's our own people? Those that are redeemed, the saved. The Bible says, do not be unequally yoked one with another. What communion has light with darkness? And I always say this to you, to our teens and children, the best way not to be unequally yoked or married is don't unequally date. Amen? Don't unequally date someone that's lost. There's danger there. You've got to be careful. And we better make sure our children are dating those people that profess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and give some evidence of that in their life. But Esau rejected the commandment of God. And because Esau rejected the commandment of God by going and marrying two Hittite women, Esau was rejecting God. Now that's very important tonight. When you reject the Word of God or the commandment of God, you are rejecting God Himself. Amen? Amen? And so that shows us His character. Not a very godly man, was He? Not a very good character for you and I to mold our lives or model our lives after. he decided that he would reject God's will for his life. Very evident, God said, all right, Abraham, make sure your descendants marry among our own people. The Hittites were not the descendants of Abraham. Do you remember who the Hittites were? The Hittites were from the sons of Heth. And we're going to see that here, that word Heth here in a minute, which Heth was a son of Canaan. Canaan was a son of Ham. Ham was a son of Noah. You remember the story after the Noah and his wife and Ham, Shem, and Japheth and their wives got off the ark. God told them to multiply. And you remember that Noah sinned against God. He was a husbandman. He had a great vineyard. And he got drunk, more or less. He got drunk. And when he got drunk, he didn't understand what he was doing. And two things always come with drunkenness. Number one is silliness and nakedness. Silliness and nakedness. And he didn't have any clothes on. And Ham went in there, and Ham saw his father's nakedness. He didn't cover his dad's nakedness up. He went back out and tried to make a reproach of his own father. He made fun of him being drunk. The Bible says that a fool makes a mockery of sin. That's tough to swallow. A fool makes a mockery of sin. That's what he was doing. He was mocking Noah's sin. He was making fun of it. And so Shem and Japheth had enough sense to get a piece of covering or clothes, and they walked backwards, and they covered up their dad's nakedness without even looking at him, and they went back out the tent. When Noah woke up and realized what had happened, you remember, he said, "Cursed be Canaan." And Canaan was Ham's son. Well, the descendants of Canaan, of course, are the Hittites. Well, the Hittites are cursed people. They've been cursed by God. Can I get a witness? Man, we went over it. They're cursed by God. And Esau, who comes from the blessed seed, is going out and marrying two women from the cursed seed. The reproach that it brought, not only to Isaac and to Abraham, but to God Himself. I mean, this is a big deal what Esau has done, going out and marrying the Hittite women like that. And he goes and he marries these two women. I wrote this down, and I want to say that Matthew Henry wrote in his commentary, I'd read it before and I'd wrote it down, that when Esau married two Hittite women, there's two things that he did. First of all, he showed that he did not desire God's blessing in his life. I mean, whenever he decided to marry those two Hittite women, he was saying, I reject God's promise and blessing in my life. You understand that? The second thing he did was, he was also showing not only God, but those around him, that he didn't dread the curse of God on his life. I mean, we're talking about a foolish man here. This man, and we're going to see in a little bit, because he rejected God, God's going to reject him. Now, God already knew what Esau was going to do. God already knew. Esau had a free choice like you and I. Amen? Amen? We're not robots that God programs and some go to hell, some go to heaven. You know, that's not how it is. We all have a free will. We make our own decisions. God knew what Esau was going to do, even though he gave Esau free will, just like he did Jacob and any of us tonight. But yet God knew what he was going to do. Right? God knew what he was going to do. God knew exactly what Esau, the choices he was going to make. And he chose to disobey God. He is part of that promised seed, that blessed seed. His grandfather is Abraham. His dad is Isaac, the son of Abraham. But he chooses to disobey God, and instead of marrying among his own people, he decides to marry the Hittites. And so this is the cursed people. Now, look at verse 35. Because he married these two women, you can just imagine what it did to his mom and dad. And the Bible says that these two marriages, these two daughter-in-laws, they were a grief of mine unto Isaac and to Rebekah. That word grief of mine simply means bitterness to the soul. It was bitterness to their soul that their son, who had been taught about God Jehovah, who had been taught about their grandfather Abraham and the promise that God had made to bless their seed, and to give them a great name, and that they should marry among their own people, that God had it ordained, that that's the way it ought to be. And for him to go out hearing that type of teaching, knowing what God had said, not that what Isaac had said is dead, not what his grandfather had said, this came all the way from God. And he heard that, and he rejected it. He said, I don't want that. I don't want that lifestyle. I'm going to go my own way. Isn't it sad today to see children, and you may know of some that they've been raised in good homes, Christian homes, but yet they get to the place in their life where they say, hey, I want to do my own thing. I want to go my own way. I'm an example of that before I got saved. I mean, I was raised in a good home. My dad pastored three different churches. I won Christian character awards in high school. I knew the songs in the songbook. I sung in the choir. I did those things, but I was lost, going to hell. And I was raised in a good home, but I rejected that when I got out on my own. Of course, I left home. You know the story. Piled my truck up with my belongings, and I left home. My mom and my little sister on the front porch. My mom waving and crying like a baby would cry at midnight for milk. And I'll never forget that image that's in my mind, seeing me leave my parents in Tennessee and going back to Monroe, North Carolina. And I got in some things that I regret today. I'll never forget them. God's forgave me. He's forgot, but I'll never forget them. They scar my mind. They scar my mind. And I got away from God. Some people say, oh, preacher, you've always lived for the Lord. Oh, no, I haven't. I'm here as a trophy of grace, too. I'm here because I'm saved by the grace of God, too. And that's why I love the Lord so much. That's why I'm gung-ho for Jesus, is because I remember where I was, and I know where I should be. I could easily be in hell. And it's sad to see children do that. We just have to trust the Word of God that if we train them up, when they're old, they won't depart. We have to remember that. You know what I'm saying? I talked to somebody in a council meeting for 2 hours Saturday, and we talked about their daughter, and I said, you have to believe that nobody's a perfect parent. There's not a perfect parent around. We make mistakes. But yet, when you do the things that are right, and you teach them the Word of God, you keep them in the house of God, and I think sometimes the responsibility has to go on the grandparents because the children don't. So, and we've got so many folks in our church that do that, get their grandchildren to church because the parents are not doing it, and or gets their nieces or nephews in church. So praise God for that. Somebody's got to do it. Somebody better do it. Every child is precious to the Lord. The Bible says, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. So we need to do our best to get our children to Jesus. Amen. And so he decided he was going to marry these two women. He went his own way. And because of this, it broke Isaac and Rebekah's heart. It caused that bitterness in their soul. The picture's not that they got bitter against Esau. I'll prove that here in chapter 27. But bitterness in their soul. It's such a grief that the Word of God uses the word bitterness in their soul because their son had went against God's commandment. May I say this? It's not in the notes, but the Lord just gave it to me. Shame on us if we ever get callous to the sins of our children. Shame on us if we ever just overlook it. It ought to make us so sad in our heart. It ought to break our heart. We ought not do that. Amen. It's shame on us if we continue to overlook our children, not discipline them. You're not being the parent God told you to be. We've got to make sure we discipline our children. I'm not saying beat them crazy. Sometimes it's time for a whooping. Sometimes it's time for a time out. You got to ask God for discernment and what degree of punishment that is. You know, if you steal a paperclip, thank God you don't have to go 50 years of jail. There's degrees, and God has degrees in punishment too. Thank God that every time we sin, He don't beat us half to death either. But there are some sins that if you continue to do, He will beat you half to death. Amen? And so we've got to be likewise as a father and as a mother. It ought to break our heart when our children are not living for the Lord, when our grandchildren are not living for the Lord. But yet it ought not make us bitter towards them. Amen? Amen? Amen. It'd be very easy to get bitter towards your kids or grandkids because you've raised them up in the house of God. You've taught them the things of God, and then they go opposite of what they've been taught. It'd be easy to get callous. You say, oh, it never happened to me. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of moms that are bitter against their own children. There's a lot of children that are bitter against their parents. I'm telling you. The Bible says in the last days, that'll be happening. Children rise up against the parents. Parents rise up against the kids. We're living in a sick day. I was checking my emails earlier this morning, and read the email of the lady that went to was at a sports bar and delivered her baby and dropped it right in the toilet. That baby was there for 30 minutes before somebody found it. Baby's still alive, thank God. They caught the lady. I'm telling you, we're living in a sickening day. A six-pound baby boy. They found him in the toilet. We're living in a sickening day. I tell you what, we better do all we can to get our children to Jesus. Amen? Do our part. Amen? Well, anyway, this was upsetting to Isaac and to Rebekah. And it broke their heart. These two, I believe also, this is my opinion. And you know, I'm not telling you to believe it. You can take it or leave it. But I do this for you to think about it. I believe also the reason that it was bitterness in their heart, not only because they were Hittite women, but we're going to find out here in a little bit. I've got scripture for this. I just said it's my opinion. I'm wrong. It's scripture. I just now thought of the scripture. We've got scripture. I've got scripture for this, that these two women were not the model daughter-in-laws to Rebekah either. Rebekah, she said, we're going to read here in a little bit. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'm sure they disrespected Isaac. I'm sure they made fun of their worship. I'm sure they made fun of the way they did things. Amen? And we'll see it in a little bit. Look at verse 1 of chapter 27. And it came to pass. There's quite some years that has passed here. That when Isaac was old. Can I say this? Unless the Lord takes us home, it's going to come to pass. We're going to get old too. Amen. So that's simple, preacher. You better think about it. You better do what you can for Jesus now. You may be bed-stricken before you know it. You may not be able to do what you should be doing right now. It's going to come to pass. We're going to get old. We're going to get old. My wife said one time she has that acid reflux real bad. And she hurts so bad. She said, I feel like I'm going to die. And I mean, she was, and I wasn't being mean. I was just sharing a thought with her because she was really hurting. I said, honey, that you are dying. I said, that's not, I mean, you are dying. I said, I'm dying too. I said, everybody you see is dying. We started dying when we were born. That's how it goes. Our body's dying every day. We're getting old. We're dying. Amen? And, you know, look in the mirror once in a while, you know, after you take your makeup off and look at yourself. We're getting old. Amen? We're getting old. Not a lot of amens. You're getting old too. Amen? Amen. I know I look older than 39, but I'm getting old and you're getting old. Amen. And you know, you say, well, you don't have a lot of hair for 39. It'd be a lot of hair if it was in your soup, right? If my hair was in your soup, you'd think it's a lot of hair too. Amen. So we're getting old. All right. So we better do what's right. Live for the Lord. And he got old. Guess what happened? His eyes were dim. What is the three B's of getting old? Bulges. Baldness, bifocals, blindness, the three B's. So here, I don't know if Isaac's bald, I don't know. Them guys up Middle East, they seem like they got plenty of hair, but I do know that his eyes were dimmed. Now, they wasn't pearl vision down at Walmart where you go down there and get glasses in these days. So it was very, very common that older people in these times, their eyes would grow dim and they would grow blind before they died. So he's almost blind, if not totally blind. I mean, he's so blind that he can't even make out his two boys. And so the Bible says that he could not see. He called Esau his eldest son, and he said unto him, my son. And he said to him, behold, here I am. And he said, behold, now I'm old, and I know not the day of my death. Isaac is nearing death. He knows it too. He don't know when it's going to happen, but he knows that it's soon. What does Isaac do? He gets his house in order. Amen. I can't stress it enough. I preached that message on prepare, to get your house in order. I said two things you need to prepare. Prepare your home and prepare your heart. We didn't have things prepared in our home. I was too young. But then when my best friend, who I went to school with, and him and his wife both were tragically killed on their way to the coast, few years ago, Jimmy and Wendell and me have been to their grave in Monroe. It woke me up. He was a year older than me when he passed, and Whitney, I graduated with in high school. She was my same age, and that woke me up and says, "You better get ready." And we got things in order in our home. Now we're still working on our heart. It's a daily thing, there, isn't it? But I'm pretty. I still ask my wife about questions. I say, "Honey," she'll say, "We've already got that fixed. It's took care of." I said, "I just need to know that it's took care of." And so I know where my $1 million is going to go when I die. So I'm going to give it away. I'm going to divide it to all those that are at church that next Sunday. So you make sure you're here. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody whose name does not start with an S. Amen. I'm just kidding. Amen, Brother Steve. But Isaac's nearing death. He wants to get his home in order. We need to learn from that. Amen. We've got to do that. I wrote this down, and I'm not being irreverent to the Word of God. The Scripture says, "At such an hour when you think not, the Son of Man cometh." Let me say this. At such an hour when you think not, the death angel cometh. I'm going to ask you a question. Anybody in here can tell me the date you're going to die? Can you tell me if it's May, June, what the day is? If you could just tell me the year, that would be good. Just tell me the year. Can anybody do that? Can't do it. We don't have any idea. He doesn't reveal that until it's time. And that's an appointment you will not break. That's an appointment you will not say, "Can we kind of postpone this to next week? Next year?" No, can't do it. So we need to be ready. In an hour that you think not, the death angel comes. And so he says, "I need to get this stuff in order. It's very important." So he calls Esau. Well, that's understandable. Esau was his eldest son. We talked about the eldest son, how he received half of the possessions of his father. He would receive the birthright. We have talked about that. I don't want to go into that. So it would seem, on one hand, that it makes sense that he called Esau. But when you think about it, it doesn't make sense. Because God had told Rebecca, and I'm sure Rebecca revealed this to Isaac, that God said, "There's two nations in your womb, Rebecca. There's Jacob and Esau. Esau's going to be the firstborn, Jacob the younger, but the elder will serve the younger." So, you know, you kind of think, well, he is the eldest, but at the same time, Isaac, didn't you know that God had done prophesied that it was going to be Jacob that was going to get the birthright? And so, here's what happens. He says to Esau, "Esau, I want to bless you. You're my eldest." We talked about how Esau was Isaac's favorite. We talked about how Jacob was Rebekah's favorite. He said, "Isaac," he said, "I want you to go out there." He said, "Before I bless you, and before..." He said, "I don't know how long I got, but before I die, and before I bless you, before I die, I sure would like to have some of that good deer meat." Good deer meat. And so he said, "Go take your bow and arrow." He said, "I don't want you to take your Browning 270. Don't want you to take your Winchester 30-06. Or as the country people say, 30-06. He said, "Don't do it. You hit that bow and arrow." He said, "I like that bow and arrow, that sport of hunting like that." He said, "You go out there and you'll find me a deer." He had a lot of confidence in his son, didn't he? Amen. He said, "Go get me some venison." He said, "Make it up." He said, "My soul loves it." He said, "Maybe he's weak here and frail." He said, "It will build my strength up. I'll feel better in my spirit, in my body, my soul, and I'll be able to bless you before I die." And this could be maybe the first time we ever hear about the last meal that they do, those folks, capital punishment. They say, "What's your last meal?" Isaac said, "My last meal is deer." Amen. Deer meat. I love deer meat. You know that. We eat deer meat all the time. Had deer meat chili beans last night. When Brother Manuel and his family come over, my wife made deer meat stew. And Angie said, "They won't never know." I said, "I've got to tell them, honey. I've got to tell them it's deer meat. They find out, they'll get mad or get sick." And I told them, and they said, "Oh, preacher, we love deer meat." I said, "We've not had it in a long time. We love it. We eat deer meat all the time in our house. It's good for you. I love it." A lot of people don't like it, but Angie, she's a great cook. She's
man.
You don't even notice that it's deer until you taste one of their hairs. No, I'm just kidding. She's downstairs. Don't tell her I said that. No, she never has. My wife has always been a great cook. The only time was like a week after we got married, she decided to make pork chops. And I promise you, this is a God honest truth. I could have took that pork chop and threw it through that wall. Ask my wife what I did. I tried my best to eat that pork chop. Now, I went to the dentist several times after that, but I tried to eat that pork chop. I wasn't about to tell her. Amen. We was in love at that time. You know, after a year, you're no longer in love no more. You know, you can tell each other. But then I wasn't going to tell her. And but other than that, it's been some wonderful meals. I used to go over there and see her at Ted when she before we got married. She'd cook out all the time. She cooked grilled chicken breasts, something. And I thought, Lord God, she don't know how to cook nothing. We're going to get married, and we're going to grill out or order out. And I found it in her. She does know how to cook. She's a great cook. And so we love deer meat. So Isaac's like me. He liked that deer meat. He said, hey, go give me some fresh deer. And the Bible says that Rebecca heard this conversation. And the Bible says that Rebecca thought about Jacob, her son, says, wait a minute. If Esau goes out and gets that deer and he pleases, wait till a man's heart is what? Through his stomach. Feed him real good. Fat him up real good and they'll do anything for you. And says if he comes back with that deer meat, he's going to bless Esau and he's going to get the birthright. He's going to be the one that has the possessions and the heir or the promise will come through Esau's descendants. Rebecca said, that's not the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be through Jacob, the youngest. That's what God told me. So she's hurrying up. She says, oh, I got to get something done here. Verse 6. And Rebecca spake unto Jacob, her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, bring me venison. Make me savory meat that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock. Jacob, you know, wasn't a hunter. He was a mama's boy. He liked to cook and plant flowers. So she knew not to ask him to go take his bow and quiver and arrows. She knew what would probably happen. He'd probably shoot himself in the foot. So she says, okay, just go out there in the farm. In the fenced area, you know those people like to hunt in the fenced areas? You know, says, you go out there where it's easy. And you don't worry about a deer. Just get a goat. Just get a goat. Just get a young goat. And so he took out there and says, get two good kids of the goats, or small goats, young goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, verse 10, that he may eat. Why? So he can bless thee before he dies. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. He said, wait a minute, Mom. He said, you know, I don't know why he didn't ask this. Mom, I don't think goat meat tastes like deer meat. Maybe it does. Anybody ever had goat meat? Have you? That explains a lot. Amen. I've had goat milk. Never had goat meat. Hey, man, I'm just kidding. But does it taste like deer meat? It don't. I didn't think it did. I think it is. So why did he say, Mom, goat meat does not taste like deer meat? This is not going to work. But what he said was, Mom, Esau's hairy, and I'm smooth. I'm smooth. And so he said, my father, he's going to feel me. And what happens when they bless the eldest son, the father, of course, would hold his hands, and then he would put his arm around his neck, and one on his right, I believe his right arm, and he would bless his son that way. He said, Mom, this blessing procedure is going to cause Father to feel me. He's going to feel that I don't have hair. And he's going to think that if he's going to believe it's Esau, he's going to say, Esau, why'd you get the big razor out? Amen. And shave your arms. Shave your neck. No. He says, Mom, this is not going to work. And his mother said, I've already got a plan. He said, Mom, Dad's going to put a curse on me because I'm deceiving him. She said, let the curse be on me. Go do what I told you to do. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, verse 14. And mother made savory meat such as his father loved. In other words, she made it to taste what he was used to. she must have been a great cook. You ever heard people say, they make deer meat, said, you don't even know this is deer meat. I tell my wife all the time, I said, you don't even know that's deer meat. Well, in this case, Rebecca says, she says, he won't even know that it's goat's meat. He won't have no idea it's goat's meat. I'm going to make it like deer meat. And so she fixed it up, and then she finds some goodly raiment or some of the best raiment that Esau had for the occasion. He's going to be blessed. He didn't come in there with old dirty blue jeans and an old T-shirt ripped up. He had to wear a goodly raiment. He said, I'll find it, and I'll put it on you, and those skins of the kids, verse 16, are going to put it upon your hands and upon the smooth of your neck. Man, she's really putting some effort in this thing. She cooks it up. She makes sure it tastes like deer meat, obviously because we're going to find out. He never said, this is not deer meat. This don't taste right. He never says that. So she did a great job there. And then she took that the hair of those small goats, and she puts it on his arms and on the back of his neck. I don't know how she did it, but she did. Isaac's blind. He didn't realize what's going on. All right, so here's what happens. Follow me while we close. And so verse 18, it's time to deceive his own father. And he came unto his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? I mean, he's waiting on Esau to come into the room. But yet, we're going to see that when Jacob speaks, I know he had to try to disguise his voice. I don't know how close they sounded in their speech. But a father knows there's a difference. You know, Carl and Darren, if they're, I know they're male and female, but I guarantee you that Chris Shaw can close his eyes and they stand a good ways off and they speak, and he can tell you if it's Carly or Darren. He knows that. And he knew that. So when Jacob said, here am I, and Isaac said, who are you? Which son are you? He's already thinking, wait a minute now, that don't sound like Esau. Maybe he's got a tickle in his throat. Maybe he's got a cold. Maybe something's going on here. It just don't sound like him. And Jacob said, I am Esau. And I've done according as thou have asked or badest me, arise. I pray thee, said, eat my venison, that my soul may be blessed. In other words, I'm Esau. Don't ask no more questions. Eat the meat and get this over with. He's probably scared to death. He's scared to death that his father's going to find it out. Do you remember those days? You're just scared to death daddy was going to find out? Oh, my. Didn't you hate when mom said, when your daddy gets home, boy, you're talking about, I have never prayed like I used to pray when I was a kid. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my God, help my mom to forget to tell my daddy. God, if you're really real, please let my mom forget to tell daddy. Let her go to bed and go to sleep before daddy gets home, you know? Let mom forget. And, you know, there were times that mom did forget, didn't she? Or we thought she forgot. She just was a little more compassionate, you know? And so he goes in there and he says, let's get this over with. I need to be blessed. And he says, wait a minute, before I eat this meat, verse number what, 20? He said, how'd you get it so fast? He said, you mean you went out there and you put on that sin away, you put on your camouflage, and you went up your tree stand, and you blowed the butt grunt, and you sprayed that doe urine all over you, got up in that deer stand, and you waited, got it, and it only took you just a few moments. Son, that's record time. You're going to get in Georgia Wildlife Magazine. Nobody's ever killed a deer that fast. What'd you do? Go out in the yard and there he stood? He said, how'd you get it so quickly? Look what Jacob said. The Lord brought it to me. I wish to God that would happen to me in a tree stand. The Lord would bring that massive 10-point to me. I'm just hoping for that I could say, the Lord brought this deer to me. Amen. Amen. Wouldn't that be great, dear hunters? And Isaac said unto Jacob, verse 21, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. Jacob has got to be sweating bullets. He's already said, I'm Esau. I got some meat. Let's hurry and get this over with, Dad. I got things to do. He says, wait a minute. It didn't take you long to kill that deer. Oh, the Lord brought it to me. Well, Isaac, he couldn't say, no, that's not true, because he believed in God too, and God could have done that. So he said, well, wait a minute. He said, how about coming over here? He said, I'm going to fill you. Can you imagine the thoughts that went in his mind? He's starting to approach his dad. He was hoping that there wouldn't be no feeling going on. And he said, come here. I want to see if you're Esau or not. So Jacob went near unto Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he, Isaac, discerned him not. He didn't realize that it was Jacob, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? Here he goes asking him again. And he said, I am. And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. I want you to remember that, because this is going to turn, back on Jacob later on. That they give him some wine to drink, and maybe they give him just enough that kind of made him a little topsy. And so his father Isaac said to him, come near now and kiss my son. I don't know what he did, but he's got his father fooled. Rebekah, his own wife, has deceived her husband. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment. Rebekah had that covered too, didn't she? She said, you got to wear Esau's clothes, because you smell like flour, he smells like the woods. He smells like outdoorsman, you smell like perfume. And he smelled. He said, it's the smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee, here comes the blessing, the dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. Now, you and I understand, or we should understand, that God was in complete control of this. God had complete control of this. God was not going to allow Esau to receive the blessing. We know that. It was going to be Jacob. God had already said at the birth of those twin boys, Jacob will be the ruler. Esau will serve Jacob. That would not happen if Esau got the blessing. So he's in control of this. And he knows what he's doing here. And so he begins to bless Jacob, thinking that it's Esau. In verse 30, and it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of the blessing of Jacob, Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. As soon as the door shut, Isaac has just blessed Jacob, and Jacob, whew, boy, let's get out of here. He slams the door, and just then, Isaac reaches towards the door, and he opens the door. And now he's going to go in there because he's been out hunting and he's found some deer, or found a deer. And the Bible says that he made savory meat. While Jacob is being blessed, Esau's in the kitchen making up deer meat. The Bible says he brought it to his father. He said, let my father rise and eat of my son, of thy son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac, his father, said to him, who art thou? He's confused now. He said, wait a minute. Can you imagine, when I come up here to pray, I like to walk, but I think it's reverent for me to close my eyes. And so I've got familiar enough up here that I can, most time, 99% of the time, walk and pray around here without opening my eyes. Once in a while, I hit my shin, amen, on the pew, but most time I'll walk with my eyes closed. And I've got familiar, but just think about you know, when it's pitch dark, your eyes are closed, and you go to somewhere you're unfamiliar with and try to walk around. I mean, it's confusion. And here he is, he's blind. And he hears somebody come back in. He's just blessed Jacob. And Esau says, "Dad, I did what you want me to do. I got the meat ready. I'm ready to be blessed." And Isaac says, "Who are you? What's going on? What's happening?" And Esau said in verse 32, "I'm your firstborn, Dad. I'm Esau. I'm the one you're supposed to bless. I'm the one that's supposed to get the birthright." In verse 33, "And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, 'Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? I've eaten of all before thou comest, and I've blessed him, yea, he shall be blessed.'" He said, "Son, if you're Esau, then who was that that came in here a while ago that I blessed? Who was that?" And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry. And he said unto his father, "Bless me, even me also, my father." And he, Isaac, said, "Thy brother came with stability and have taken away thy blessing." He said, "He's coming here with the substance. He's coming here with the meat. And he's took your blessing from you." And Isaac said, he said, "Is not he rightly named Jacob?" Remember what I told you Jacob means?
Yes,
trickster. And that's what they said. They named him right. He's a deceiver. He's a trickster. "For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. And behold, now he hath taken away my blessing." And he said, "Hast thou not received the blessing from me? Or hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? Dad, is there something that you can do for me?" You remember how that Esau sold his birthright. Esau said, "This is the second time he did this to me. I was hungry, and I wanted some food. And we exchanged my birthright for his food. And here we are again. He's got me again. He tricked me again." And Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Behold, I have made him thy lord." Is that not what God said would happen? "And all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son?" He says, "Son, it's over. It's official. There's nothing that I can do now." And Esau said unto his father, "Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, "Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by the sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck." Chapter ends, chapter 27. Where Esau hates Jacob. And he plots to kill his brother Jacob. But he says, "I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait until Isaac our father has passed away and the time of mourning is over. I'm going to wait." And that waiting period allowed Rebekah to warn Jacob, "Jacob, your oldest brother's after you. He's going to take your life. You better run." And very miserable time for Jacob. Very uncomfortable time for Jacob. But the result's going to be that he's going to meet his wife. He's going to eventually meet both wives. But when I say wife, I'm talking about Rachel, the one that he loves. And through that, through Leah and Rachel and their handmaids, we're going to have the 12 sons of Jacob, which today are the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel. And Jacob's name will be changed to Israel. And we're going to deal with Jacob for quite a few chapters now in his life. I hope that the lesson today was a blessing to you, and I hope that there were some things there that you've learned and you can take home with you and think about. Was God condoning Rebekah and Jacob's being deceitful? No, God never condones sin. But at the same time, God already had it planned, ordained, that it would be Jacob. Let me say this again. The reason that God rejected Esau was because the latter part of chapter 26, Esau rejected God. Esau rejected God, and so God rejected him. And one day all those that have rejected God on this earth, they've rejected, when you reject Jesus, you reject God. And all those that have rejected God in this life, one day they'll stand before God, the Almighty, just and holy Judge. And God will reject them. And He'll say to those on His left, the goats, the unsaved, the unrighteous, the children of this world, the children of darkness. In just a few words, He's going to say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." And the reason that they will spend forever and ever and ever in hell is because they rejected God first. I hope tonight that you've not rejected Him, but you've accepted Him. Because the only way that He's going to accept you into heaven one day is because you first have accepted Him as your Savior. You accept Him or you reject Him. You reject Him, there's a place for you. It's called hell. You accept Him, there's a place for you. It's called heaven. Amen. I'm glad I'm part of the redeemed that can say, "I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I've accepted Him. And now we are accepted in Christ." The book of Timothy says that God and Jesus cannot deny their own flesh, their own body. Who is the body of Christ? The church, the saved. Christ is not going to reject His body. Amen? He's not going to reject us. Why? Because He gave us an opportunity, and by faith, we accepted Him. And so, thank God, we are now accepted by Him. Amen? Amen. May the Lord bless us. Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible says in John, chapter number 14, that Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.